It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robinhood Radio. You can find Arthur here live on a Monday. Also rebroadcast during the week and on the weekends, as a matter of fact, and continually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at On Demand, RobinhoodRadio.com. Click on On Demand, click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and we click on him right now. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I'm okay. My cold is a little bit better. You know, it's been lingering, but I hear that's what's going around, so I'm not getting too upset yet.
All right.
But, you know, I've needed a lot of soup. I do find soup is helpful.
It's funny you mention that, because I made this weekend, I made my homemade mushroom soup and some chicken, just some chicken broth.
Well, I had some really good chicken broth in the freezer. And it was probably time to use it. So I got this a bargain on leeks. Have become very expensive, but I got a bargain on leeks. So I made some leek and potato soup, but I didn't make a thick one. I made a whatever. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay.
I wanted to talk more about bread.
Well, bread goes with soup.
It does go with soup, and it also goes into soup.
Yes!
This is the thing I wanted to talk about, is, you know, I buy a loaf of we're two people here. I buy a loaf of fresh bread, and we have, I have to say, incredible bread here in my neighborhood. So I have a choice of several incredible breads to buy. But we don't go through a loaf of bread that fast. So sometimes I'll take half of it and freeze it. But I also use bread in so many different ways once it's getting dried out that no bread ever goes to waste around here. I mean, after a couple of days, you can make toast and, you know, you can still enjoy it as more or less as fresh bread. But eventually, I leave it in the usually paper bag that it came in and allow it to dry out, so that I can then use it in cooking. In fact, in my book, The Southern Italian Kitchen, I have a whole essay on how, even though we think of Southern Italian food as being pasta-based, it's more bread-based, and sometimes I think of it as the breadcrumb cuisine. And to giggle to myself, I went to a very fancy Italian restaurant last week, to celebrate my cousin's 87th birthday. And almost everybody, I mean, I don't know, we must have genetic likes, because this is all family. And there were only two, at a table of seven, only two different orders. And one was the hake, halibut, oreganata. So one of my family members says, "What's oreganata?" I didn't want to pipe up and say, "I know that." But oreganata in southern Italy is when you take breadcrumbs, season them, however you're going to season them, depending on what you're putting them on, and make like a little breadcrumb crust on top of something. That's oreganata. In fact, the oreganata I make the most is shrimp oreganata, because it is so easy. And by the way, I do not buy, the next question is, what brand of breadcrumbs you buy? I don't buy breadcrumbs. That's the whole point here, is I save bread and I make breadcrumbs. Now, if you buy white baguette, you know, long loaf style bread made with no sugar, and it's a decent bread to eat, then go ahead and make breadcrumbs with it. I prefer these days to eat whole wheat and whole grain bread, and many of those are not suitable for breadcrumbs. However, I did just find one that is suitable for other cooking things, and that is, and it may be available everywhere these days because this bakery is everywhere, is the Balthazar Bakery, which is the adjunct to the Balthazar restaurant in Soho, distributes their bread at least all over New York City that I know. And the one that I've been buying is available in Whole Foods. And they call it the swirl whole wheat or whole grain bread. Whole grain swirl, maybe that's how they label it. And it is a swirl of dough. It is really a beautiful thing to behold. but it's also a delicious thing to eat. And I find, for instance, last night, it's a great bread to use when you need to soak bread to soak up stuff. So what I made yesterday with what was just in the house that I needed to use up, I had a half of a 28-ounce can of tomatoes in a plastic container in the refrigerator, and I had these little adorable onions, maybe the size of not even a golf ball, and I don't know what I meant to do with them. They were just so beautiful, I bought them. But what I did with them yesterday is I cooked them, I sliced them, and I cooked the slices in olive oil until they were tenderish, which meant like 8 or 10 minutes on not very high heat. And then I added my tomatoes, which I crushed as I added them to the pan. If you don't like to use your hands, put them in a bowl and mash them up with a potato masher or break them up with the side of a spoon. And what you're going to make now is basically a thick tomato sauce. I did this, by the way, in a saucepan, not my usual skillet where I make tomato sauce. So this was in a small saucepan, must have come to about a cup of sliced onion, but you can use any onion. In this case, leek would be better. I'm making something called papa al pomodoro. Papa as in pap. Pap tomatoes. So the pap is the bread. So I cooked this with the tomatoes for about 10 minutes, and then I added chunks of my bread. Now, this bread, this Balthazar whole grain swirl, I had, once I cut off the crust and I cut the interior, which is already somewhat dry because it's several days old, in fact, I had the end of two loaves, and so one was several days old and one was maybe 5 or 6 days old.
How do you store it?
Well, in the case of my wanting it to dry out,
yes.
I just leave it in a paper bag on the counter.
Okay.
I don't really like to put it in plastic, but occasionally I'm overruled on this by Mr. Harned, and he puts it in plastic, meaning a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, doesn't that keep it softer?
But then you lose the crust.
Right.
Then again, if you're toasting it, it doesn't matter. But definitely if you keep it in plastic, even in the refrigerator, it's going to get moldy before it gets dried out.
Correct.
So if your point is to dry it out, which is my point, I just leave it in a paper bag on the counter. I don't even put it in my bread box, which I do have, because the humidity stays in there, and it also will get moldy before it dries out. And in fact, if you want bread just for making breadcrumbs, I suggest you take your fresh bread and cut it into cubes or big pieces and let it dry out, open to the air, tossing it every once in a while so that all the pieces on the bottom get exposed to the air at the top. So basically, I'm looking for dried bread, Jill.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So yesterday I had, maybe it ended up to be 2 generous cups of dried out bread cubes. And I put that into my now thick tomato sauce, and I mush it all up, and I let the bread soak up the juices of the tomato, and it is a stiff mixture. It's sort of like cereal, like a hot cereal texture, maybe. You can leave some of the bread in pieces if you like, but I like it to be all sort of mushed up. And then you serve this, besides that you need to season with salt and pepper, which I probably forgot to say. You serve this with a drizzled with your absolute best olive oil. Now, let me stop for a minute, because olive oil is a fetish of mine. I could live, I think, on bread, good bread, whole grain bread, olive oil, and salt, and garlic. Of course, you need some protein. So once in a while, you got to add protein. But really, to me, life is about great bread and great olive oil. So one of the things I make most frequently, oreganata, or in dialect, ricanata, or there's so many different pronunciations, is shrimp, because this is like the easiest way I know shrimp. And my breadcrumb mixture is 1/2 cup of dry breadcrumbs, a half a teaspoon of salt, a large clove of garlic, very finely chopped or minced, up to you how big a piece of garlic, big clove of garlic, a teaspoon of dried oregano. Now, I'm particular about my oregano, too, and I have for years been buying wild Sicilian oregano, which is easily available these days. It comes on the stem in wrapped in cellophane. Of course, I do get oregano from the Sorrento coast, which I love, too, brought to me by friends. But a teaspoon of good oregano, and I like a teaspoon measured the leaves and then the dried leaves, and then I like to rub it into the mixture so that it gets powdery. A quarter teaspoon, an eighth of a teaspoon, depending on your taste, of hot pepper. Now, I, in this, sometimes use what we used to call Aleppo pepper. Now that there's no more Aleppo, I don't know what we're going to call it. There's another name for it, of course. But you could use paprika. You could use cayenne pepper. This is up to you, but some kind of sweet or sweet to hot pepper. And a tablespoon of oil, it's all you need. And you mix this all up. Now you've oiled up these crumbs. You spread your shrimp. This is enough for about three-quarters of a pound to a pound of shrimp. You spread your shrimp in a, and I use a glass dish, a Pyrex dish, and preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Sprinkle your breadcrumbs over the top of the shrimp. Some of them, of course, are going to fall into the plate. Don't worry about it. And bake. Takes about, I don't know, 15 minutes at the most, depending on the size of the shrimp. Could take as little as 10, 12 minutes. And you serve this with a little lemon wedge. It's a great way to do almost anything.
But you could...
fish fillets, like we did in the fancy restaurant, the halibut, and they pretty much put the same thing on top and charged over $30 for it. I mean, it's not a hard preparation here.
No, you could do it to chicken. One of the old family recipes that you could just totally improve on is what happens in your oregano. Can you put a little bit of not for shrimp, but possibly for chicken, just a teeny little bit of grated cheese in it, or no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, let me see if I can find this recipe. This is a recipe that I haven't made in a long time. I didn't even check to see if I don't think it actually made it into Southern Italian Table, but it was tested for Southern Italian Table.
I'm only asking because a family recipe called Smelly Chicken that was just delicious, which was basically bread crumb.
This is pork. Mm. And for this pork dish, I just mixed the breadcrumbs with parsley and grated pecorino with grated sheep's milk cheese. And that's it. Sometimes, by the way, even in the shrimp case, sometimes a few fennel seed in your in your breadcrumb mix is great. But this recipe, baked pork with breadcrumbs, comes from my friend Tonina, who lives in Salerno, but she's from a little town in Cilento, which is southern province of Salerno, really on the Calabrian border, because I've encountered this dish in Calabria, too. So it's Cilento-Calabrian, but here's the deal. Meat in Italy is really different than the meat here. And I have made this with the pork shoulder that Tonina told me to use, 2 pounds of pork shoulder. But pork shoulder is a pretty resilient cut, let's call it that. It needs long, slow cooking. And I don't know if every pork shoulder you're going to buy is going to result in tender enough meat. So you might want to use, do not use loin, but maybe you could use tenderloin. I don't find that as dry as the actual loin. But anyway, it really should be made with a cut that has some marbling. And you cut the meat into 1.5-inch pieces, and you actually massage it with salt and the juice. For 2 pounds of pork, about 2 teaspoons of salt and the juice of a lemon. Mm-hmm. And you really massage this into the meat, which I do think helps tenderize it. Then you put the oven at 300 degrees only. And when you take the meat out of the bowl, I say salt and pepper? You need salt and pepper in there, too. You drain the meat, but don't dry it. Just drain off any excess lemon juice. and put it in one layer in a casserole. Now, this is very important. The pieces should not be touching each other. No crowding in this pan, even though it's a temptation. And the breadcrumbs get mixed. Well, let's see, how many breadcrumbs for that? About a quarter of a cup, a third of a cup of fine dry breadcrumbs, a tablespoon at least of finely chopped parsley, and two rounded tablespoons of grated pecorino. And you mix that all up together, you sprinkle it over the pork, and you bake it at 300 degrees for a full hour. Then turn the heat up to 350 and cook it for another half an hour. In this time, any liquid that has collected in the bottom of the pan should be reducing. It actually gets a little thickened by the breadcrumbs that have fallen into the pan. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that sounds
so. It takes an hour at 300 and then about a half an hour at 350, and it should be tender. This does not reheat well, so this is something to make for the family. It's very easy to throw together and serve it right out of the oven.
Right.
The potato, may I say.
Oh, yeah.
I want a potato here.
I would, too. Can you put the potato in there or no? Or does it ruin it?
You're always wanting to change the recipe. No.
Is that terrible?
I'll tell you why you don't want to do that.
You
don't want to do that because it will change the cooking time
yep.
of the pork.
I understand.
Plus, I don't know how big you're going to cut the potato so that it cooks in the same time as that pork.
Correct.
I mean, it's just too complicated.
No, I'm only asking because
it's not as easy as you think.
Yeah, and also Here's what I love about what we're talking about with oregano, or however you want to, whatever dialect we're using, and that is that it flavors things in a way without having to get into the entire, you know, first you dip it in egg and then you dip it in breadcrumbs. It's a totally different taste.
I like that too, though.
Oh, I understand, but I don't
actually. One of the things I made this week. I considered using breadcrumbs, but in the end I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. I made fried fennel. Sliced the fennel very thin. Mm. Well, I mean, you know, no more than a quarter of an inch through the root end so that the pieces hold together. Some of them will not hold together, of course, because there's no root that goes to the edge, but don't worry about it. And then I dipped the fennel in first egg and then seasoned flour, meaning salt and pepper, and fried it in canola oil. And my intention was to make a parmigiana di finocchio, a fennel parmigiana, because I ran across a picture of this as made and served by my friend Rosaria in Salerno. And I thought, Rosaria is allergic to aged cheeses, or she has a bad reaction in any case. So I always say, lucky she lives in mozzarella country. So she makes this fried fennel topped with mozzarella. And then she'll give you some grated cheese if you want to put it on. And no sauce. So it's in bianco. It's white. But you could put sauce on. And I think the next time, so the fennel slices were delicious that way with just a little salt on them. But I did throw them in the oven later on, reheating them with the grated Swiss cheese, which I have very good Swiss cheese in the house now. And some Parmigiano, and it was delicious. But I think the mozzarella and tomato sauce treatment might be more interesting. In any case, back to breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs are often, I know listeners know this, are often used in Italy instead of grated cheese. People say it's because we were too poor to have grated cheese, so we just had breadcrumbs, and that may be true, but sometimes out of necessity, traditions grow, and nowadays people love just having their breadcrumbs instead of cheese on certain pastas. For instance, if you make spaghetti with just melted anchovies and garlic and oil, that does not call for cheese, but toasted breadcrumbs is delicious on top. And I say toasted, I put them in a skillet, either toast them dry until they start browning up a little bit, or sometimes I do with oil, depends. In Puglia, excuse me, the the heel of the boot, so to speak, they actually, some restaurants will actually put a bowl of toasted breadcrumbs on the table for you to use as you would cheese. I don't see that many other places. I don't know if I ever encountered that anywhere else except at home. And it's a good idea, and it's another way to use up those breadcrumbs. I told you about the papa al pomodoro, which is just cubes of bread sort of melted into a dense tomato sauce, in my case seasoned with baby onions, and you could use leek, would be very good. Even garlic would be excellent. But in the South, that's a papa al pomodoro is a word and dish from Tuscany. But in the south of Italy, they make pane cotto, cooked bread. Got to say, one of the most memorable lunches I ever had was at an estate in Calabria, a wine estate, where they gave us lunch, and the main feature was this enormous, enormous loaf of bread that had been hollowed out and to use as a tureen. And inside was the bread, which had been dried out so that it would absorb liquid. It was mixed with cooked broccoli rabe and oil. Mm. And the broccoli rabe was cooked, of course, with some hot pepper and garlic, because this is Calabria, they use a lot of hot pepper. It wasn't really hot, though. And the big feature was, and as I said, olive oil. This estate also produced its own olive oil. And I guess this must have been October or November that I was there, because they had the freshly pressed oil in a cruet, and you were to take your portion of cooked bread with broccoli rabe and pour generously the new oil over this pane bread cotto, cooked bread. So it's the same thing as papa al pomodoro. And you can take any vegetable, pretty much, and turn it into cooked bread the next day if you got some stale bread and some good olive oil. Like I say, it's all about the olive oil. But hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm here because I have to just briefly interrupt. I was traumatized earlier this week, not intentionally, but somebody had used basically a sweet, swirly piece of bread to make croutons out of for a Caesar salad. And I think that it's worth mentioning that it depends on your taste, your family's taste, how much sweet you like. Because I can tell you that when personally I bit into that, I was like, oh, you got to be joking.
Not for a Caesar salad.
I understand. But
how about croutons on a squash soup?
That would be great. You know, the little bit of sweet, little zap.
I do save bread for Caesar salad, by the way. I do make croutons, and there's no reason in the world you can't make good whole grain or whole wheat croutons.
Those are fine. It was just
those
it was
doesn't have to be white bread.
It was the sweet.
I don't want that.
It was like brioche.
I'm joking, but I didn't vote for Cynthia Nixon for governor of New York because she had something on a cranberry bagel.
But she
doesn't deserve to be governor if that's the way she eats.
And then I have another question.
Cuomo's at least came from Queens and know about
food. They know about food. Marshall's howling, but listen.
I wonder if he
shouldn't be. I still have 4 minutes left. I'm watching.
That's right.
No, he's howling at what you just said.
She shouldn't be governor because the way she eats. Yeah, it's just like, what's his name, couldn't eat a slice of pizza the right way.
I'm sorry. I disagree with you, Marshall.
I know.
De Blasio?
In Italy,
not everybody, but most people, eat pizza with a knife.
With a fork and knife. I don't want to talk about...
And in fact, I have friends here, and, you know, they don't want to burn the roof of their mouth with hot pizza, so they want to cut off a little piece. I don't think that was a bad thing.
Listen,
at all.
I have an olive oil question, please.
Yes.
From politics to olive oil.
You only have 5 minutes left.
It's just a quick question because I am most of the Newman's brand of salad dressings. You know, there's a whole range.
Never bought one.
Okay, I was pretty surprised when it started. You know, basically with Newman and Hotchner. And, you know, it doesn't taste bad. It tastes like it was good.
Tastes like bottled salad dressing.
No, it doesn't. It didn't. Now, I have no idea because the line is expanded out. But there are
I have no interest.
Just wait. There are two Caesar dressings. I haven't had either. One is a regular Caesar. One is a light Caesar. My issue is this. Exactly. My issue is this. Soybean oil is the first. See, I've only ever made Caesar salad with olive oil.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, can you do it?
I'm anti-soy oil, so right away you lost.
Okay. Well, the other has water before the soy oil. Okay,
water is water, but soy oil is, I don't know.
So what
encouraging bad agriculture.
All right, so basically you would start your Caesar salad with some good olive oil, yes?
Yeah, I started with a piece of garlic.
I understand. Okay.
So anyway,
you're on your own.
I want to give this recipe out because it's so sensational, and I sort of made it up but not. With a lot of breadcrumbs in the house right now, this was not a problem. I had everything. I had the peppers. Here's the deal. You got to find good red peppers. This might be a lull in the season. The local season is over. I haven't seen the nice peppers from Mexico, but when we get the nice peppers from Mexico, this is worth making. So four large red peppers. I had roasted these peppers because they were the last peppers of the season, I figured. And I didn't want them to spoil, and I couldn't eat it all at once. So I roasted four large red peppers, and then I thought, what am I going to do with these other than eat them as they are, which I love, but I did it all summer. Not all summer, but at least August and September. In any case, I made muhammara. Muhammara is a roasted red pepper and walnut dip slash spread from Syria. And I first tasted this many, many moons ago at the home of Paula Wolford when she was writing her book on the Eastern Mediterranean, and this was one of the recipes in the book. But I didn't use her recipe. I made it up. I took four large roasted red peppers, all cleaned up, put them in my mini processor with a cup of shelled walnuts, two very large cloves of garlic, three tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, good oil, three tablespoons of pomegranate molasses. Now, that's a product that used to be rare, hard to find. Now I see it everywhere. So I think maybe it's become even trendy. Three tablespoons, and I have other uses for it. Three tablespoons of pomegranate molasses, at least a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper, meaning ground pepper, but you could use more if you like it really spicy. A half teaspoon of salt. By the way, I always say the spicier you make it, the less salt you need. If you're on a salt-reduced diet, make it spicier and leave out the salt. A half a teaspoon of ground cumin. It just adds a little under note, not a big cumin note. And you grind this all up in the mini processor until it's a puree. It's not going to be totally smooth, but it's going to be nice. And then you're going to see it's loose. It's too loose. And what do you thicken it with altogether now? Breadcrumbs! At least a half a cup of dried, unseasoned breadcrumbs. It depends on the bread. It depends on your peppers, the exact amount. But you want it to be thick enough that when you dip something into it, it'll stay on whatever you've dipped. It shouldn't be runny. And then chill this for at least several hours because the flavors do take time to meld. The second day, it's great. Excuse me. And you can dip pizza in it. You could dip vegetables in it. You can make a sandwich using it as a spread. I thought of that today. And it's called muhammara. I'm sure there are recipes on the internet. I know there are, including Paula Wolford's original recipe.
All right.
But this one I just sort of did out of my head.
Okay.
And it was great.
Well, guess what?
We're out of time.
But you timed it perfectly.
I'm watching the updated clock now.
Okay.
It's good.
All right.
So everybody have a great week. Go vote tomorrow. Please, go vote.
Okay.
No acclamation here?
Vote.
You're not allowed to say go vote?
Oh,
well,
no, yeah,
absolutely.
Wait,
but it's absolutely. Just we're going to replay this a number of times. And
that's okay.
Oh, all right. So I'm sorry.
Vote out.
Vote no.
No, you vote early, vote often, starting now.
On election day.
No, I mean, tomorrow is the day. So
right.
If you
exactly right.
On Thursday or Saturday,
Marshall will remove
you can whatever still, way you want.
You can
go vote.
You can still go vote. It doesn't care.
You will be anyway.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, Arthur.
Take care, kids.
Thank you.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.